distance, moving at a steady rate toward the north, keeping clear of the main drag of the Ville. As far as Ryan could see, nobody was firing in their direction, reserving all their bullets for him.
Get in, Ryan!
I'm trying!
Ryan rested a hand on the open hatch and slid down without his feet touching the rungs of the ladder. Ryan reached up and closed the hatch, swinging across the locking latch.
I'm in.
Hit?
No.
Hatch?
It's shut. Let's get out of this place, JB, before some bright son of a bitch has the idea of putting a blockade around us and then lighting a big bonfire.
The rotation had stopped, and Ryan heard the armorer selecting a higher gear. They began to move forward. Eventually, the firing faded away, and there was only the sound of the thirsty engine and the wheels rumbling over the blacktop north. They found themselves behind the traveling animal show after only a mile or so. JB throttled back so that they could act as rear guard if anyone came out of Wetherill Springs after them. After nearly half an hour, the wags ahead of them signaled they were turning off into a scenic overlook. The LAV followed them.
We owe you two.
What for, Ellie?
Ellie stood in front of him and JB, her face still pale from the recent ordeal and the shock of Raja's death.
You helped us.
JB wiped road dirt off his glasses.
We didn't even pull the trigger once.
Didn't need to. Just by being there, you gave us support.
It was the lions and the tiger that saved your bacon. I suggest you do never go within 100 miles of Wetherill Springs again.
And keep away from buffalo hunters. Some of them got long memories.
And long guns.
Uncle of mine was a buffalo hunter. Trained animals some of the time. Used to go after those big white bears up north.
Polar bears. We've seen some of them. Swift and evil bastards.
Big, huh? Uncle Jack used to trek north. Way up past the Canada line. Spent most of his life there. Died up there. Damnedest thing.
How?
Let's crack open a bottle of Vino Pinco I've been saving, and I'll tell you.
Better keep a lookout behind. At least from here we can see miles south. No sign yet of anyone driving out after us.
Nell was picking at a loose thread of pretty silk on the hilt of one of her knives.
I reckon that they had too many chilled to be eager to come running after us.
I'm not too sure about that. I've known a posse of 50 men to chase for 500 miles over a misunderstanding about a woman's honor. And there were a lot of corpses to be buried back in the Ville.
They sat in a circle, and Ellie passed the bottle around. The wine was the most delicate shade of pink, much closer to being clear than to red, with a subtle taste of sunlight on a summer meadow.
Tell us about your Uncle Jack. Said he died strange up north.
Ellie wiped her mouth, licking her full lips and smiling directly at Ryan.
Yeah, unlucky you could say.
Jack Kassoon had been hunting with a partner, which was where the first part of the story came from. They'd been after a big white bear, a loner with an old shoulder wound that gave him distinctive tracks as well as a vile temper. The animal had taken refuge from the two men in the ruins of an old copper mine up in the Canadian tundra in the middle of winter. Jack had been ill. Some kind of fever that was making him sweat, his body literally steaming in the biting cold of 50 below. The kind of cold where the line between living and dying was thinner than in most places. Illness wasn't that uncommon up there. There were plenty of triple red hotspots from a radar defense line before Skydark. The two men had agreed to split up while tracking the bear, which was where the rest of the tale turned into supposition and deduction.
Well, Frank Tunstall, Uncle Jack's partner, skirted around the edge of the old workings, you know, trying to head the animal off before he went clean on through and just vanished into the Badlands beyond. It started to snow and turned into a full-on whiteout in less than 5 minutes. Frank and Jack were both old hands and knew that you don't last long at that sort of temperature in the middle of a blizzard. There was no time to light a fire.
Frank had found shelter in a hut that had once stored dynamite. Thick walls and a stout roof and a solid floor. No windows to let the chill factor in. He'd curled up to wait out the storm. It had taken the rest of the day and the whole night, and right through past noon the following day.
Frank finally opened the door. Not easy with a lot of snow piled against it. No sign of the bear. And no sign of Uncle Jack either. So he started to scout around. Plenty of places that his hunting partner might have tucked up against the blizzard. took nearly 3 hours before he found him. He was dead.
Frank found that Jack had crawled into a narrow drainage pipe with a constricted opening. It was just large enough to contain his body if he stretched out, but it kept off the murderous wind and the heavy fall of snow. What Jack hadn't reckoned on was what would happen when his sweat began to condense on the cold plastic of the pipe's interior. It formed a layer of ice, which grew thicker as the storm raged on, when Jack had most likely fallen asleep. His breath and his perspiration made the pipe grow ever tighter and tighter as the sheathing of clear ice became thicker and thicker.
When Frank Tunstall found him, spotting his boots sticking out, Uncle Jack had been sealed and suffocated in a tomb of ice of his own making.
The ghoulish story and the bottle of wine finished at the same time. It was an uncomfortable and stilted parting. The four women pressed Ryan and JB very strongly to remain with them.
At least for a few days. We can move along the same trail as you. We don't have any place special to go. Be good company for each other. Find another bigger pest hole to put on another show.
Sorry, but we have to move on. We can make better speed than your wags.
As long as we don't run out of gas. Can't keep going for too much longer.
There's some powerful vills lying along your route toward the Cascades.
Katie glanced behind her at Balthazar.
What's gotten into him? Could be he sensed something.
JB climbed quickly onto the top of the turret of the LAV-25, shading his eyes against the bright afternoon sunlight. He stared along the winding length of the blacktop, all the way back toward the faint blur that was Wetherill Springs.
Nah, nothing at all.
We got plenty of Jack.
Nell, you got no right to say that.
Why the fuck not, Ma? I reckon I got the best ride on this. After all, I was the one
Since
who...
Since when did you get plenty of Jack?
Nell's the one with the answer. Her and those short-bladed knives she carries.
JB sat on the body of the wag, his eyes crinkling with puzzlement behind the lenses of his spectacles.
I don't get... Of course, the barkeep. Never saw the tiger or the lions take him out, but he was dead, wasn't he? And that jackbox was missing. You are one hell of a family, aren't you? Dark night. You don't need anyone to ride shotgun for you. Do the job yourselves.
Well, the offer's there. For both of you. You guys just don't know what you're turning down. Do they, daughters? Losing a chance with the four lovely ladies of life. Like some old poet once said. Still, if you gotta go, then you gotta go.
Ellie shook hands with Ryan, her palm dry and calloused, her grip firm.
Best of luck to you on your quest north, and to you, JB, as well.
One by one, the young women came and kissed both men on the cheeks. It was Ryan's turn to drive, and he clambered into the armored wag with a last wave of his hand. JB followed him, sitting comfortably inside the main hatch, the Uzi in his lap. The engine rumbled into life, and Ryan kicked it into low gear, carrying on along the winding blacktop toward Durango. They drove 3 miles up an unmarked farm road, past a mountain of rusting relics of pre-dark automobiles, jumbled together at the entrance to a quarry. Ryan slowed, wondering whether this might possibly presage some kind of wagworks or gas cellar. But there was nothing at all. Just the overgrown remains of a scrap bean farm.
Haven't seen any sign of life since we came off the highway. Nothing wheeled or hoofed or booted. Could be a safe enough place to park for the night.
There's still some daylight left.
Gas?
Be lucky to get past noon tomorrow.
Now we should stop now and economize as much as we can. Start fresh tomorrow and go hunting for fuel.
Sure.
Christy came awake suddenly, with a feeling of bitter cold. It was an hour after midnight, and the bedroom on the western side of the Lawrence spread was chilly. As she slid from under the beautiful Amish quilt, she found her feet were cold when they came in contact with the old linoleum. The patterned coil rug beneath the window was softer and warmer as she stood and stared out across the New Mexico desert. The stars gleamed mistily through a bank of high, watery cloud. There had been a disturbing dream, but the shock of being jerked from sleep had driven the details away from her mind. Christy folded her arms across the thin cotton shirt that she had been wearing to bed. The Flagees were still there. She could see the ruby gold flicker of their campfires, less than a half mile away. This was the second